listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we have a exciting CarCast episode for you today. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the McLaren 765 LT, and we're going to talk to the guys at Rockstar Garage and some of the cool cars that they are building. Before we get started, a word from Madison Reed. Mister, maybe you're working from home and staring at you or your coworkers, gray hair on video, and you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to color my hair. Well, you're not alone. Madison Reed Mister, it's gray blending, natural-looking color for your hair and beard. I saw the before and after shots. They look great. Doesn't have that shoe polish look. It's pretty natural. Looks good. So maybe you just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. Well, Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find your color match on their website. It's quick and easy. Just apply a little color gel to your hair, then apply the activator. You wait about 10 minutes, then rinse and shampoo. Plus, they deliver right to your door. It's super easy. Just go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com and use the code ADAM10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's MadisonReedMister.com. Use the code ADAM10 for 10% off. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. Good morning. How are you?
Sounds like we started off in fourth gear on that intro.
Yeah. I think it's going I think it's going all right. Oh, man, we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got a guest coming in today as well. He's going to call in and tell us about a Mustang build that's going on. Before we kick things off, a word from our friends at Dodge. We all know that Dodge means horsepower and muscle, but did you know that J.D. Power ranked Dodge number one for initial quality? J.D. Power also named Dodge the automotive company with the best driver appeal for mass markets. So there's never been a better time now to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. See your local Dodge dealer today or visit Dodge.com. All right, so we got some interesting news. First, a little bit of the bad news. The bad news is Lewis Hamilton has the Rona. Unfortunately for him, he caught the COVID-19. He's going to have to sit out a race, maybe two, who knows. It's going to put a little bit of a – now, he's already locked. He's so far ahead in the points. If you guys are following F1, he's already –
like it's going to make a difference.
He's already got the championship pretty much locked. You know, he's a young guy. He's 35. He's in great shape. He'll be fine. It's just going to be kind of a bummer because he was kind of queued up to set a couple more, like, world records. You know, if he's got 11 races this season and he has a shot of winning 13, which would have tied Sebastian Vettel's record, which, he, you know, for 13 that he set in 2013 with Red Bull. And he looks like he might be missing out on clinching a 100th pole position. He's got 98 now, but sitting out the race, I think, is going to just means he's going to have to come back next year and knock out all of these
all of these
world records. But I think he was kind of hoping that, you know, end of season, get it all, you know, done now, have a, you know. When it comes time to renegotiating that contract, he's got a lot more things to you know.
I don't think he's lacking in any ammunition at a renegotiation.
No, you know, it's funny. I brought this up in a conversation just kind of among friends. I said, you know, he's a young guy. He's still fast. He's at the top of his game. He's paid very, very well. How long do you go for? And when does money make a difference? Do you pull a Seinfeld and go out on top? Because at some point, you can't keep getting a raise every year because it just financially won't make sense. So at some point, do you retire? Or at some point, do you go, hey, you're already paying me so much money. I know if I ask for more, it means no, because you physically can't do it. Like it's just not going to be there anymore, right? And unless you come up with alternative ways of pulling money from within this company or that company, like at what point do you go, hey, this is enough money? And I don't know what the number is because I'm sure it's ridiculous. 60 million, 80 million, 90 million, whatever it was, right? Because I'm thinking about like Michael Schumacher's salary way back in the day when He was at his prime when Mike Tyson was at his prime. And I remember both of those guys sort of competing for like highest paid athlete in the world before endorsements, right? So because neither of those guys did a lot. Like Tyson, I don't even think did hardly any endorsements. And his height was like $90 million in one year. You know, without the endorsement. So I don't know. Like, if you're paying Lewis Hamilton, I don't know, $60 million or whatever the number is, I could be way off. I could be half or double. Who knows? But if you're paying a guy $60 million and go, yeah, you know, the budget for the team is capped out and what we could do, and it doesn't make sense. And we love winning, but we, you know, do you mind signing a 3-year contract at $60 million, and then I don't know, we give you some free cars and shit. Like, what else can we do?
Maybe lose him to Ferrari.
I just think there's going to be a tap out at some point, right? Like, I would imagine athletes and other sports face this at some point. Like, when does the income of the team?
Can you talk to somebody else about this at this point? Because I'm just being hypocritical by saying he should retire at the height of his career.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not a for him. He's got he's made enough money, and he can definitely roll with endorsements and do all types of testing, TV hosting. There's retiring doesn't mean he goes away. Right.
No, just paying him to wear the Mercedes logo on his shirt, I think, will be enough for them.
Yeah. And look, retiring could also mean he pulls a Leno where you retire, but you kind of stay on the salary, not at that same salary, but you're staying on to basically not go to another network. You know, like Leno gets paid to not go to Fox, right?
Absolutely. You know? I see that as the scenario unfolding here.
You know, something along the lines of that. But anyway, we've got that that's going on. Did a little driving the past few days, been doing a little driving. And some I can talk about, some I can't talk about. I can tell you this. I picked up the McLaren 765 LT.
Just talk about that.
And it is fantastic. So I took it out to a Bronco Sport event. Ford put on a fantastic event to do all these crazy things at a Bronco Sport. Now, that is embargoed. We can't talk about that until next week. I can't give driving impressions. I can tell you we drove it. I can show you pictures, but we can't give driving impressions. Some people ask about why the embargo, by the way, if you're a little confused by why the embargo, what that means. It means you can't talk about it yet. The reason why is sometimes they distribute press releases and information to different people at certain times. Also, for an event like this, especially now because of COVID, they're only allowed to have a certain amount of people there to drive the cars, one person per vehicle, or if you're the driver, you can bring one photographer or something with you, or videographer with you. Mm-hmm. Everything is you know, temperature check and limited vehicles. So what happens is they have to do this driving event almost every day, two shifts a day for a week. So if I did it on a Tuesday and someone's going in on Friday, it's unfair for me to tell you all about it. And then those guys go, I can't tell you yet because I haven't driven it yet. So basically, that's kind of how the embargo works. So they're wrapping up all the drives this week. And Monday, the embargo lifts because everything will be done. And then we can all talk about it and share our opinions and all that stuff. So that's kind of why that's happening. But while we were there, we got to do all sorts of driving in the Bronco Sport. They did have the Bronco there. They had the full-size Bronco two-door, which looks awesome. That I posted up on like my Instagram story. I'll get a few more photos. It definitely looks badass. Don't discount the Sport. I will tell you that much. But this is what happened. We went out to this town called Fraser Park, I believe it is. It's about an hour and a half outside of LA. It's way up in the mountains. It's gorgeous. There's people riding dirt bikes and off-road trails and overlanding and all this stuff, all this cool stuff. I was like, this is a great time to take the McLaren out, really kind of stretch its legs, take it way up on the 5 freeway, open it up a little bit, have a little fun with it. And I'm doing that. And then I realized when we get to this park area, there's about a mile of just dirt road to get to, about a mile and a half of dirt road. So I'm driving. I got the front axle lifted in the air. I don't want it to hit anything. But the 765 LT is the lighter weight, hotter version of the 720S.
And perfect for four-wheeling.
And what I'm telling you is there's no real sound deadening, and everything's carbon fiber, and all you just hear, it just sounds like somebody's shot peening this thing with a pebble gun. It's just, you just hear, and the tires are just grabbing every rock, and there's, you're in a dust cloud, you can barely see, and you're going like 4 miles an hour, just going slow, but it's just, it's got to be the dirtiest McLaren ever. And We pull it up there, and the guys are like, oh, the cool McLaren, probably not the best event to be running. I was like, I didn't know it was going to be a mile and a half of dirt road when we got here. The freeway has been fantastic the whole time.
Well, hopefully McLaren doesn't subscribe to the podcast and hear you telling that story. I don't know if they'll be letting you drive any more of their cars.
Well, they do a good job in doing a lot of, like, underneath the doors and the skirts and all that stuff. They've got the paint protection film. They've got all the clear bra stuff, which is fine. And as soon as we... in that little town, we left at night. There was a car wash, like a do-it-yourself car wash thing where you just grab the gun. Now, at those car washes, I don't usually grab the brush because the brushes are dirty and it scratches paint. So I just use the high-pressure water and the soap and just clean it up as much as possible. You know, blast out everything, make sure there's no rocks, the wheels, it's covered in dust everywhere, just so it's not embarrassing to drive home for the next hour and a half, even at night. And then a lot of times I'll just wash it myself because I've got the good gear at home and clean sponges and clean, you know, chamois. Like, I don't have to worry about somebody's monster truck rolling into the do-it-yourself car wash and getting the brush, and it's just riddled with little pebbles and rocks. If you have to use the brush, okay, this is what I do, is the big soapy brush that hangs up on the wall there, is hose off the car with the high pressure, and then use the high pressure thing to hit the brush first.
Absolutely.
You know, make sure you get that brush real good, and then if you're going to use the brush on something, go ahead. I guess. But so anyway, it's parked out front. The thing's an animal. Like, we had some roads that were basically kind of open and not exactly closed off, but essentially closed off because there was driving events and stuff going on. And what a beast of a car. You know how much I love the 720S. And we got to close off Angeles Crest and film up there. So that was kind of got spoiled to be able to do that for 2 days. And I was like, that car is scary fast. Then you get into a 765 LT and you're like, man, this thing is nuts. Now, it does make you a little nervous because now you hear everything more than before. Without any, like, sound deadening, you're just the floors are like a carbon fiber floor with just a carpet, you know, just a mat, like, you know, clip to it, you know. So if you pull the mat out, it's just all carbon fiber right there. So, man, you just hear every little pebble, every little pebble, every piece of road. But
now you drove the Senna, correct?
That's coming in a day. That's,
you know, I can't wait to hear the comparison performance wise between what you think.
Yeah. Now, we're not out on a track, so we can't get anywhere near the capabilities of these cars, but. Listen, you think about 12-cylinder and 8-cylinder and turbo lag and whatever, but McLaren's got it dialed in. That engine is fantastic. And if you're doing 80 miles an hour and you just slap the accelerator to the floor, that thing still launches at 80 and pulls to 140 before your eyes start to blur. And you're like, what? Time to back off. Like, it just pulls for days. And it is fantastic. And that's in a normal mode. When you click it into sport or track, you know, there's two dials in there. There's a button that says active, and you hit that button to activate the dials. And there's a comfort, sport, and track mode, both for the engine, for the power, and for the suspension. And you can dial them in independently. So if you just want to stretch its legs, you can turn up the power of the engine. I'm not sure you're increasing power, but throttle sensitivity, exhaust note, you know, things like that, just the reaction times. It makes it a little more scary or a little less scary, right? In comfort mode, there's a little bit of delay on the throttle, right? So it's not, you know, if you're sitting in traffic, it's not jerking around and like, you know, it makes it, they put a little bit of a lag in it, so it makes it drivable. But as soon as you're in sport mode or track mode, that's gone. The thing is just a beast, and it's just fantastic. There was a few of them that are that have been being driven around. You can follow Justin Bell as well. He did a bunch of videos on his Instagram of one of the 765 LTs, but his had the engine scoop and a little bit. I think it was blue and a couple different features than what the one I've been driving. But the one I've been driving is $430,000. So I don't know.
Buddy of mine ordered his, you know, months ago, and I got to tell you, color combination, it's that light blue with the tan interior.
That is nice.
Absolutely the most gorgeous car I've ever seen.
The one I was driving was orange with the black interior, had a lot of suede and stuff. It was good and it stood out, but you're right. You can get a little more creative. There's a line there where you can get a color that stands out, but still come off as kind of elegant. And you're right. Yes. That color that you're talking about, that
beautiful
sort of blue-gray, it really makes a difference. And I agree. I think it should have a little bit brighter interior, because the McLaren feels a little Spartan on the interior. When you look at Lamborghini and you look at Ferrari, they do such wonderful jobs on the interior. I like the ergonomics. Everything works for me, but it just feels a little Spartan. And some brighter colors and to bring out some more of that. Like, I got in, it's just Alcantara everywhere, black seats, Alcantara dash, black everywhere. And the only difference is just some textures from carbon fiber to the Alcantara stuff.
Yeah, it needs some accents.
But it does need a few things. Now, not the most comfortable car in the world. By the time you put the race seats in it, which it slides forward and back, but it doesn't lean back. And to raise it or lower it, there's three positions, and you got to take the screws out and put it in. So I'll tell you, that seat, I fit well in the seat. I'd like to have raised it up one notch to the
middle. Was it the racing seat?
Yeah, it was. It is the lightweight racing seat. It wasn't too bad considering I spent three and a half hours in the car, an hour and a half, you know, or so each way to this event.
Well, you're a buck 05, remember?
Yeah, right. But I'll tell you, that seat, you're not going to fit in it. There's no way your shoulders would fit in it. Like, you wouldn't be able to lean back in it. You'd have to push your shoulders forward. You would get stuck. It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work in it at all.
Well, he's safe. Then I can never take his car out.
You know, unless there's an optional seat, you know, maybe you can get a regular seat in or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got the regular seat in his. He did not get the racing seat. He didn't like it by any stretch of imagination, because I think he had it in his 720.
Mm-hmm.
But and he's not that much taller than you. He's a lot wider. There's no question. But he prefers that other seat, hands down, to the racing seat.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, when it comes down to sheer performance, that 765 is an absolute animal. You will have fun with that car. And if you're just going to hit the track or even just go out on a weekend to a Cars and Coffee, you're going to be fine with it. But if you're doing anything more than that, I think you step back and just go to the 720 and get a good sound system in it and get a little bit, you know, get some of the sound deadening materials, get a more comfortable seat in it. You're not going to be upset about the power. And by the way, there are people tuning it. You can put an exhaust or something on it or whatever. Like, if there's a couple of horsepower that you think you're missing, whatever the weight difference is, I don't even think it's 100 pounds. It's
can't be much.
Whatever. You know, that's cool on paper, but I mean, really, it's also like, who's driving it? Is somebody with you? Is somebody not with you? I mean, for what you're sacrificing to get that 100-pound weight difference, it wouldn't make a difference to me. You know, you're literally 100 pounds more than I am. So, right?
I mean, I throw that 100 pounds out the window as far as the weight difference.
Yeah, totally that's what I'm saying. Like, what difference is it going to make? I mean, you know, I don't know, go to the bathroom and don't eat for 2 days before you get in the car if you feel weight is the difference. It's funny because Adam joked about this stuff back when he was doing Long Beach Grand Prix, you know, because he got a car and they picked the numbers out of the hat and there's like a ceremony and guys are getting 54 and 47 and Adam got like 8. And Adam's like, I'm already winning because it's one number. I've reduced the weight. I don't have to put twice as many stickers on the car. And, you know,
was it still the Celica?
That was the FRS at some point. He did the Celicas and then the FRS, the Scions or the Scion. Yeah. And then the FRS. Yeah. But he was just kind of making joke of the weight difference, you know, because people in those, you know, like we love Patrick Warburton, but Patrick Warburton's a tall guy. He's a big guy, right? And you have somebody like Patrick Warburton, and then, I don't know, you have, you know, Trisha Helfer, you know, and you're like, well.
Well, yeah, it was like when I did it. You know? Got me, and then you got, who was the Olympic swimmer who ended up smoking me? I can't remember what it was, but she.
Oh, Torres? Was it Torres?
Yeah.
Absolutely. She did it before.
I blew the tranny trying to catch her, man. And, you know, I mean, her car was 100 pounds more than mine because of my weight. And the thing doesn't weigh, but, you know, God knows anyway. So, I mean, that made a huge difference. It shows my superior driving ability to be able to keep up with it.
In the racing segment, it does. On the street, I think, you can't go wrong with any of these cars if you can get one, if you can afford one, and it's in your.
But I don't think it's anything you and I are going to have to be.
I'm not running
through our mind.
Yeah, I'm still just trying to buy a Mustang and get my truck in one piece. But
I had an interesting car experience this last weekend. My same friend who I said ordered the 765 came in town with his wife, and he was looking at a Rolls. It was like a 217 Phantom four door, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And ironically. It was here in town in Burney, Texas. So we went and drove it. She absolutely loved the car. We looked the car, you know, looked at it up and down. And I noticed that the tires, I mean, the original tires on the car had 12,000 miles. They were cracking, all of them, all four of them. So he speaks to his McLaren dealer who has, you know, a relationship with these people. He says, don't worry about it. You want the car, I'll make a trade for it. He calls later in the day. They won't put new tires on the car.
Why?
It's a $160,000 Rolls Royce. And to roll it out the door for a sale in the same day, they wouldn't put new tires on the car. How about that?
That's amazing.
Amazing. So what did he do? He told him to shove it, and he bought another one.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you do. Go buy one with.
It's just. Yeah, you know, in customer service and people that sell so many cars these days, some of them don't feel as though they have to rely upon any customer service anymore. Bullshit. So, you know, just a story out there. I'm sure a number of people have had little stories like that.
But yeah.
It's amazing that people can do that. So, and I won't mention their name just to be nice.
Yeah. Well, look. It happens. What are you going to do? You know,
well, it's just it's asinine to me. You know, if I was the salesperson, I would have gone out with the commission that I was going to make on the car and bought $1,000 worth of tires and put them on. Just a real world story, you know, that even we deal with stuff like that.
So. They're going to love that Rolls Royce. We did quite a bit with the Rolls and even road trip to Monterey, that Rolls Royce Ghost. And
I can tell you, I ain't never been in one. I've driven in one once, but I was driving in the back seat like this, first of all, you know, so I wouldn't be seen. But, it, you know, it was white on white four door. The thing was absolutely unbelievable. Drove like a cloud.
That's what I'm saying. They call it the magic carpet ride. It is the nicest riding thing you can be in. I'm telling you, you think a little bit about it and you're like, oh, I'm not doing a music video. I don't need one of these. But but you start driving one or being driven in one and you're like, this is the nicest driving car. We did our road trip to Monterey and back, and I just did the Rolls Royce Ghost recently, a few weeks ago. Yeah. And did a ride event, a drive event, and
you ever driven anything close to it?
Bentley is pretty close.
Is it close?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I think the Bentley's starting to lean a little bit more performance, a little sportier, yeah. And but the ride, I think, is better. By the way, that Ghost, if you got a Ghost, the four-door, the new Ghost, they made some changes. It's an even smoother ride. It is just
It's amazing. Weird looking, though. It's a strange-looking car. The body lines are completely different. It's more of a cloud than it is. I mean, there's no real distinct – I don't know. I'm just being picky. I like the little older ones better.
All right, let's talk to
that's
Nick.
Another car we won't have to deal with.
Yeah, not for a while. I like it, but not one I'm going to be getting anytime soon. But getting a little bit used is the way to go. We're going to talk to Nick Ashby. We got Nick coming in. Chris is going to get him up on the screen here. All right, this is Nick Ashby from Rockstar Garage. You're building this Quadra Mustang. It has something to do with the Cyberpunk video game, but I don't have all the information on it. So let's start with what's your shop? What's Rockstar Garage? How are you affiliated with Rockstar Energy Drink? And what kind of stuff are you building over there?
About 10 years ago, I got back from Iraq doing some stuff over there. And at the same time, I started building cars with GM and Dodge and Rockstar kind of saw me and they asked if I wanted to be their builder. And about 10 years ago, we started Rockstar Performance Garage. And we do a lot of stuff in the off-road, some stuff in the import and muscle. But, you know, we just do a lot of fun stuff. And they brought this project to me earlier this year and said, hey, we have an in-house project we have going on that we need you to build a giveaway car for. And they started talking to me about, you know, what type of car we wanted to build. And then we settled on the 1970 Fastback.
Let me step back a bit about some of the cars that you're building for Rockstar. Why does Rockstar Energy Drink build cars? And are you building cars for their athletes, for their professional racers, or are you building street cars for these?
So what Rockstar Performance Garage is we're like, think about it this way, we're like a business to business or a brand coordination company. We work with a lot of the big brands, K&N, Mickey Thompson, American Racing, you know, all core brands, about 30 of them. And we actually do strategic marketing with them and Rockstar. So we build display cars, SEMA cars, dollar cars, things like that with Rockstar tied into them. Then we also work with these other companies to tie Rockstar into their marketing on the automotive side as well. So We don't work with the race teams. I stay out of that world. I'm more of an influencer grassroots builder. And, you know, like we build a lot of off-road Jeeps. There's a couple behind me. One of our famous ones is called Gridlock. Any given day during, you know, the month, that thing will have like 4 million views online. It's crazy. It's on a 46-inch tire. That's pretty insane stuff. But we'll take that thing out and hit different like off-road parks throughout the country while we're sampling drinks, while we're, you know, engaging with enthusiasts. Because to me, there's like two ways you influence the car market. You either get in there and just throw a bunch of money at it, which really doesn't build a core there or any love for it. Or you do things, you know, where you get out and you actually engage with the consumer on their level. And it's more like a grassroots traditional marketing that we do. And it's, you know, it's been very effective. We have a lot of partnerships through brands because of it. And we create a lot of in-house content here because of it, you know, through YouTube and all that stuff.
Okay, so tell us about the Mustang. How did this project come up?
So, man, it feels like a different world, but earlier this year, before all this stuff happened, we started this project, and this project got brought to us in the hopes of building a giveaway car for someone to win through this video game promotion, everything that Rockstar is doing. And at first, they brought it in, and they said they wanted to do like a Hellcat or a Charger, which I'm sure Goldberg would have appreciated, but... You know,
you have to satiate the other people in the world.
You know, you do. And the other thing is it's kind of like, and I don't mean this to be anything, but anyone can go in and buy one of those cars right now, right? So I wanted to give someone something that's like more traditional American that's harder to get. And it's not something you see every day. It's a little bit more unique. And finding an actual like clean fastback Mustang. And then when you look at the actual Quadra in the game that we had to inspire this thing off of, a lot of the cars now don't have those cars because it was based on older modern muscle. And they just kind of took four or five different types of models and slapped them together and made the Quadra. But, you know, we ended up on this because to me, it's going to give someone a piece of America, if that makes sense. And you're winning, like you're winning that. And Rockstar is an American company. A lot of the brands I work with are American companies. So I definitely wanted to give like that piece because In our YouTube video we just launched on the first episode of this, the actual game designer said that he designed this and it was inspired off of American Muscle. So that's where I went with it. But, you know, the Rockstar brought it to me, Carter brought it to me from the game department and said, hey, here's what we want to build. We want to do this. Well, right when this whole pandemic hit is right when they brought it to us. So in the middle of this pandemic, we're like, how do we go get the car in Atlanta that we found? How do we bring it back here? How do we get all the parts? Because people are like shutting down their businesses and you know, going into this whole like safety mode. And so it just turned into this whole thing. But, you know, because we have a lot of great partnerships, we were able to pull in through partnerships and everything. We were pulling an additional 70K in just support in this build in less than a month in the middle of all this pandemic stuff. And then we were able to build this car in just over a month. So it took us about 33 days to build this car, start to finish. Wow. We our shop and knocked it out. And we have a ton of content that we're going to be putting out on the actual build. But that's kind of how we settle on the car and what the whole premise of the car is.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be telling people you can build a car in 30 days because then everyone's going to want one in 30 days. Luckily.
Yeah, I would be slammed in here with a bunch of cars. We only build cars for that are marketing, SEMA, like a brand relationship car, if that makes sense. Like we've had a couple celebrity cars in here, but that's because like Canaan will call us and say, hey, we need this car built for this celebrity, and then we'll shoot like the documentary on it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. So tell us about the video game, Cyberpunk video game. I'm actually not aware of this game.
I can say this. I'm not a gamer. Like I remember when I was a kid and I was playing video games, my parents used to like smack the hell out of me and tell me to go outside and play.
Bingo.
It's like, I look at them in disappointment saying I could be a celebrity right now if you would have let me play that video game a little bit more, Mom. But nowadays, video games are taking over the world. They're like the new superstar stuff. So what this video game is, from what I see, is it's set in a dystopian the future. It's all about modding things out, right? So I'm going to guess a lot of car guys are going to love this game because you get to mod the cars out in the game. But the other thing is it's set in this future of 2077 that you're actually modding yourself as well. And you play as this character, V, who's kind of like starting out in the outskirts and he has to work into this megapolis through like these crime syndicates and like all this crazy stuff. And then his goal or like anyone's goal in this game is to get that last mod that makes them like everlasting, live forever, like Fountain of Youth and stuff. So, you know,
sounds like all car guys.
Exactly. Right? It's like forever and you get to play with your car. Like why wouldn't you want to play this game?
Exactly.
So. All right. So tell us about some of the stuff you had to do to this car, some of the things you guys chose to do, some of the mods, a little bit of the styling. Tell us about the car.
You have a, you know, you have a car sitting behind me that's 50 years old. So we had to bring this car 100 years into the future set for this game. The paint job that originally came on this thing was like that OEM banana yellow that came on these fastbacks from Ford. And it was just, it wasn't pretty.
Hideous.
Yeah. So we had to, like completely stripped the car down. We did a Bentley black paint job on this thing, so it's just beautifully black. Then the yellow you actually see is a wrap because being a car guy, like whoever wins this car, I want them to be able to do whatever they want to do with it, and they might not want to keep that yellow theme on it forever. So literally everything that we did to this car can be, everything can be reversible, and you can restore this car back to the original Mustang. That was one of the things that I kind of got in a little bit of arguments with during this process was we were like, oh, we'll cut the car up and do this and do that. And I was like, no, like I'm not going to just completely destroy this car like you see some shows do where you lose the essence of the car. And, you know, I mean, thank you. And it's one of those things that it's like if you look behind me where you see the black rising up on the rear quarter above that rear tire, it looks like we did some mod work there on the stuff, but that's all just using the different contrast of color to make it look like the car sitting higher in the rear than it is in the front, doing things like that where you can undo that. They're not making any more of these cars. And I don't want to be another one of those people just destroy these cars.
Good man.
All right. Now tell us what's powering the car? What's underneath the car? What were some of the companies you work with on this?
It's a little bit of controversy online. We had the option to do like a full crate motor in this thing if we wanted to and drop 500 horse in it. But I chose not to. Again, going to that whole traditional thing of doing a 1970 Mustang, we kept the original engine and the original transmission in this, went through them, they're all good. And then what we did is went with fast EFI and did a full fuel injection on this. So this entire car is all ran through a computer system like a modern car would be. It's all on RideTech coilovers. We have a 9-inch rear in this thing with a Yukon limited slip rear end, third member. So it's like you have this car that has been brought to the future, but it's not lost all of its OEM history, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, and what have you guys done to the interior?
So the interior has a ton of carbon fiber in there from Anvil Auto. So does the exterior. I think we have literally everything that Matt makes for it. And then we had Status Seats send us their classic style seats, but we actually went through those and we had Stitchcraft redo all of them based off of the mods you can do in the game to make it look like the interior in the game. So when you look at these, they look like low back coupe race seats, but they're actually designed off of the same seats in the game. And then it has a carbon fiber steering wheel in it. The old cluster that was in this thing, if you've ever seen an old car,
yeah,
they're very hard to read. They're not legible. They're, you know, 50 years old. So Dakota Digital's worked with us, and we actually put one of their nice systems in this. I think it's their HFX system, and it's all digital now. So everything actually runs with the fast. So you have current everything on this. You can check your RPMs. There's an RPM limiter on it now. There's also fuel management in there. So you can watch what's going on with your car through an onboard display computer system that's actually in the dash, as well as all the Dakota Digital displays.
Awesome.
So how do we, you said it's going to be a giveaway car. Talk about that. How we're going to, you're doing a video series online that sort of documents the build of this thing. So we can follow along with that.
So you can go to our YouTube. It's YouTube.com/Rockstar Garage. The first episode dropped. The next episode drops next Monday. And then the third episode drops the Monday after that. So the way you win this car is there's five cans that have been made from Rockstar Energy that are Cyberpunk 2077 edition can. You buy any one of those cans, and you flip the lid on it, literally the tab, and there's a code on the back of that tab. You go to the website, 2077.rockstarenergy.com, and you input that code. That's it. And then every one of those cans is also worth a dollar on Xbox. And then there's a ton of other swag you can win along the way, comics, hats, hoodies, headphones, any of that kind of stuff. It's all on that website. It's 2077.rockstarenergy.com. But it's a super easy thing to enter and win. You don't have to do anything else. Literally just buy a can of Rockstar and then input that code. And, you know, it's pretty simple. And there's five cans.
Awesome. So you buy the Rockstar Cyberpunk video game cans. It's kind of a Willy Wonka thing going on. And if you're lucky enough to get the golden ticket, then you get the cool Mustang that these guys built as well. Well, it sounds like it's fun. So what's coming up next for you guys? What's you guys got thoughts on the next project over at the garage?
It's kind of a crapshoot over here when it comes to projects. You know, this project literally got dropped into our lap and we had 30 days before we actually started it. And, you know, we're very fast and mobile here. We're kind of guerrilla warfare and on what we get done. We have a lot of off-road stuff coming up. We're going to be out at King of the Hammers with some of our new builds, some of the stuff that we have going on. We're doing obviously this press tour right now that we're with you guys. And then we have, I'm also a big Harley guy. So we have some destination rides that my team and I kind of like shut down for a week a year. We've done Africa, Greece. I think we're just going to stay in the States this year and go do some like Sedona rides, stuff like that. But other than that, you know, it's just, I don't think a car guy's life ever stops. We just kind of take on more projects. And then as soon as projects get done, you just kind of like all of a sudden you have more projects to do. And I'm going to guess Goldberg can probably.
My tagline,
you know, is who's next, but it's actually what's next.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You don't even have to finish the first project before you start the second project. I know that for sure. I've got several in the works.
Yes, you do. But those are continual projects that never end.
They're moving along, though. We got work done on them and things like that. All right, so it's a Rockstar Garage. You guys buy the cans, buy the Cyberpunk Rockstar cans, pop the top, and maybe you can win a chance for this thing. It'd be fantastic. I'm sure you guys are going to love it. Follow the Rockstar Garage on Instagram, and you can check these guys out on their Rockstar Garage YouTube channel as well. follow the build of this car and jump in, comment, chat with these guys. I think your guys are going to have a good time doing it. Nick, thanks so much, and good luck with the next venture you guys are going to be going on.
Great job, Nick.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Definitely.
Keep it going, brother. Beautiful car.
I will try to.
No, you will. I'm sure you will.
Hey, real quick, huge shout out to Adam. When I was in Iraq with like my team, we used to always watch The Man Show. Like it was so awesome then, and like now I think that I'm here, you know, on his show doing this stuff with you guys. And obviously go over all the stuff I used to always watch with you. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you for your service, my brother. Anything that anybody did to take your mind away from that BS going on over there, man, we're greatly appreciative you're able to find something. So, again, thank you for your service, most importantly, and keep up the good work with the cars.
Definitely. Yeah, awesome. I will definitely tell Adam. He'll appreciate that as well. He loves those stories.
He used to be an old construction worker, too, which is pretty cool.
Yes, yes, he's been a construction worker. He's probably off doing that right now as he's on his way in. All right, guys, thank you so much.
Be good, Nick.
Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right. So the last thing we'll touch on, as Goldberg alluded to, is, man, F1. What an interesting weekend. What a crazy weekend. And
yeah, you know, they're catching a lot of hell for the coverage on that too. And I don't know. I don't really understand. Did you watch it in real time? I mean, were you watching it?
No, I saw the videos of it afterward, and a lot of people tweeted us because we haven't covered F1 in a while, and then Adam and I were literally talking last week about crashes in F1, right?
Last week, we went over the last few F1 fatalities and talking about how everything just got so much safer now.
Yeah, and then everyone just hit us up and go, guys, stop talking about it. You jinxed it. This thing... It went terribly awry. Like, what's going on? Please stop doing that. But I know they're all just having fun with it. But terrible accident at the beginning of the race. I don't know how to say his name exactly. If it's Romain or Roman or I'm going to mess up his last name, but crashed and split the car and caught on fire. And the interesting thing is he put up a video. Obviously, somebody, friend, family member, shot it for him from his hospital bed, very enthusiastic, saying, you know, thanks for all the support. We'll be there soon. His hands were burnt, so it all wrapped up. I believe his hands and his ankles got some burns. And the interesting thing is, because we talked and recently, I think with Simon Pagenaud and Graham Rahal and a couple of guys about the Halo that's an indie now. And this guy was not really a fan of the Halo when it came out.
Oh, I bet he is now. And it saved him from cutting his head off.
And he said that in his video. He said, I was wrong. I know I was not a fan of this when it came out. He goes, the Halo is the reason why I'm here making this video talking to you today. They were right. I was wrong. This thing saved my life, and fantastic crew that was there with, you know, the safety crew, and we'll go on to another day. And he talked about just flashes of his family between his eyes, and he talked about seeing, because he was in the car for quite a bit, seeing the plastic on his helmet start to turn orange and start to melt. And he thought of his family immediately. He thought of Niki Lauda, and he's like, I just don't want this to happen. And like these things just flash in his head, and kind of got the adrenaline pumping enough for him to get out of the car, because when the crew got there, he was stuck in the car, and just an amazing thing. It definitely speaks to the safety crew, the safety features of the cars now. I'm glad he's okay. I believe he didn't have a ride lined up for next season. Maybe was going to retire, so he wasn't intending to race next year. But who knows where they're going to go from that. But crazy thing to see. Glad he's okay. I mean, you know, at least walked away with it with just some minor issues with the burns and whatnot. You don't want any of that, but pretty nuts, right?
It was terrifying. It was. I mean, I watched qualifying. I watched practice. My buddy who's buying the 765 LT was here, and he's a big F1 fan. And, you know, we were up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever, watching practice and everything. So everything leading up to it. But, you know, it was right at the beginning of the race. It went wheel to wheel. He took a right turn, went right into the barrier. And the placement of that barrier is seriously in question. Number one. Number two, I guess it's the construction of the barrier, or the type of barrier.
Yeah. Steel, but, I mean, or whatever that was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. He hit right in the middle, basically split the two pieces in half. And that's where he was lodged. And, you know, the car broke in half. It was terrifying. It really was. He was engulfed for 23 seconds. And, you know, it was horrible. It really was. It was amazing to see him walk out of that car.
Obviously, oh, out of the flames, too. Just basically
freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing to see that he didn't sustain more damage than he did physically.
Now,
it's a testament to the halo and all the safety precautions and the workers. I mean, they were there immediately.
I believe I read something about while he was trying to get out of the car, even with the uniform on and the gloves on, he had to like grab part of the metal rail.
Oh, absolutely.
To kind of get him out. And as soon as he did that, like he was like, oh my God, just waving his hands.
That's
like,
when his hands were on fire.
Yeah, because it was basically just hot, almost melted steel at this point. It was just a fantastic, tragic event. But you're right. Things are going to get looked at, the good and the bad. They're gonna find some effectiveness of the halo. They're maybe going to find some effectiveness or maybe a few adjustments to, I don't know, racing seats and gloves and uniforms and things like that. But yeah, I'm sure the track and stuff like that is going to be evaluated as well. You know,
absolutely. It was an unbelievable placement of that turn in or whatever, the barrier. I mean, I was amazed that it was even there and it was signed off on. It's just protruding out right around that corner. It was terrifying. You could see how somebody could lose control and hit that easily.
Yeah. Well, it makes me think of insurance. So here's a Geico ad.
Geico.
You guys maybe own your home or you rent your home. Either way, I bet it could be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Okay. And then before we're going to be running out of time in a few minutes, just a little more information about some pretty cool cars that are out. I know we touched a lot on Mustang Mach-E. There's going to be a driving event that's coming out soon, but Ford said, hey, we've got the Mach-E, we've got the GT version of the Mach-E, and now they're going to have the Performance Edition. It's kind of like the performance pack you'd find on the Mustangs and stuff. It is, it's still going to be 480 horsepower, but it picks up a little extra torque to 634 pound-feet of torque. The GT, the Mustang Mach-E GT, is the same 480 horse, but it's 600 pound-feet of torque versus the 634. And that results in about 2/10 of a second quicker 0 to 60. And so the Mustang Mach-E GT Performance Edition will do 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds.
Nice.
3.5 seconds. This is this is Mustang GT500 territory. This is just amazing. Now,
just a second slower than the TRX or faster than the TRX.
Yeah, right. That's going to be amazing when you add the extra horsepower to it. All right. So what this also does is, as far as range, that's the question people keep asking, is what's going to be the range? Not a huge difference. The performance pack, and especially if you lean into that accelerator a bit, it's a 235-mile range, which is about a 15-mile hit over the Mustang Mach-E GT. So it's fine. whatever. I don't think the 15 miles is going to make that much of a difference if you want this thing. It also is going to come with a number of performance upgrades. You're going to get 19-inch it says 19-inch rotors, but I'm wondering if they meant – I guess they're saying 19-inch rotors on 20-inch wheels from Brembo brakes. 19-inch seems like a giant – rotor.
That's interesting.
Maybe they meant 19 front wheel and 20 inch rear wheels, but some of the specs I have, and again, this isn't the official Ford stuff. I've got the Ford email somewhere. I'm going to have to dig it up, but it's got the big Brembo brakes on it and some, you know, some cosmetic things on it. It has like a gray grill and 20 inch wheels and sports seats and kind of aluminum look on the dashboard and some other colors that you can get that come from the Mustang, including Grabber Blue and Cyber Orange. It's going to be pretty cool. We talked about the Mustang Mach-E. I think it's going to start in the $40,000 range. The GT, $62,000. And I don't have the costs yet on the Performance Edition yet, but... you know, it's not going to be $10,000, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. But looks kind of badass. I mean, when we went to the initial unveiling of the Mustang Mach-E,
the Mach-E,
thank you.
They said it was going to be in the 40 to 70 range. You know, for all of the options. You know, all wheel drive, two wheel drive, big battery, big engine,
reasonable,
big motors. Yeah. So it's going to fall into that range. It's going to be fantastic. So anyway, I think that's going to be kind of fun. The last thing I want to touch on when you're talking about hot SUVs is the Jaguar F-Pace SVR, which is just a beast of an animal. We drove the Land Rovers, the Range Rover Sport SVR with the 550 horsepower is just a rocket ship and just one of the loudest SUVs you could get out there, like next to probably the Lamborghini Urus. The thing is just a
Trackhawk.
Yeah, Trackhawk's pretty loud. Trackhawk's pretty loud. But the smaller version, you know, the Range Rover Sport, a little bit smaller, is the Jaguar F-Pace SVR. They're making a few little adjustments to it. So the SVR has the same 5-liter supercharged V8s, 550 horsepower. Torque increases from 502 to 514. It doesn't sound like a lot, but they've also did a little nipping and tucking and improved the look a little bit. And the new shape, sharper, cleaner, 35% reduction in drag. Now, the added torque... the better aero means this SUV does 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds.
There you go.
And I kind of like love that.
Ridiculous of a world are we living into?
Top speed is
living in. That's great.
178 miles an hour.
I love it.
it's just nutty. Some of these things are nutty. They recalibrated the braking system, electric booster, more stopping performance, all-wheel drive, 8-speed automatic transmission, all standard paddle shifting, you know, and a bunch of different accents and stuff. I'd love to actually get my hand on one, and get into one. Now, of course, the infotainment system has largely been the issue with Jaguar Land Rover. This has their newest system in it. It's the 12.3-inch high-definition touchscreen. It has the ability to receive over-the-air software updates, which I think is good, both for the electronics of the vehicle and everything else. It also now has a wireless charging pad for your phones, active road noise cancellation technology, a bunch of new features you would expect. It comes in at $81,750, which doesn't seem that crazy to me. You're getting an SUV that fast, $80,000, $82,000,
$81,000. The size of it, though, right? I mean, you know, say it's a little smaller.
It's a little smaller. It's a two row. It's not a three row. But to give you some perspective, it's the size of a Trackhawk. It would be that.
It would be
that size. It's not a tiny SUV, but it's a good size two row SUV. It's not a three row. Like the Durango would be the three row, right? And the Trackhawk and the Jeep Grand Cherokee
Well, that's right. That's right in the sweet spot then.
Yeah.
And price-wise.
I still feel like that's a really good size SUV. You can fit in a lot of stuff in it, and it's a good city size SUV. You know, like you can still drive it and park it. You're going to roll up in your Whole Foods. Yeah. You're not going to do that in the TRX.
I am. I'm going to go to the ATB in my TRX, not Whole Foods.
Not the Whole Foods. All right, before we wrap it up, speaking of the TRX, we were talking about Dodge. Our friends at Dodge want us to reach out to you again.
It's hard for you to spit Dodge stuff out. I know, but go ahead.
Well, you know what? We got to read two ads, and the two ads are kind of the same, and I kind of want them to be different. So Dodge means horsepower and muscle, and you guys know that they ranked number one, J.D. Power, for initial quality. And J.D. Power also named Dodge the automotive brand with the best driver appeal for mass market brands. They're number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. It's the first time a domestic automotive brand ran away with both awards in the same year. And with enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder these guys are winning all the awards. So there's never been a better time now to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. See your local Dodge dealer today or visit Dodge.com. All right. I think that's good for today. And we'll have some more Bronco sport for you next week. I'll give you some driving impressions on that. I think coming up in the next couple of weeks. Oh, well, of course, there's Senna oh, yeah. and McLaren GT. We'll be talking about that next week and more stuff. So hopefully tune in next week and we'll do more. How many more shows we got this year, Chris, if you had to guess?
This year, three.
Three. Three more shows. Then we're going to take a little break. All right. Cool. Thanks, guys. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
And the car on the road. Be good, gentlemen.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. And if you want to see some pictures of the Bronco stuff and the McLaren and all the good stuff that we're putting up there. And, of course, truck stuff. Always got to have truck stuff, lightning stuff. Just follow me at Motorator. I'm on social media. I'm posting a lot of cool stuff up there. Hopefully you like it. I appreciate you guys chiming in and adding the comments. And I try to get to them all and see them all and like them all or respond to them. So I appreciate you guys jumping in. And before we wrap it up, it's just another word from our friends at Geico. We talked about maybe you own your home or you rent your home, and it can be a lot of work. Well, bundling your policies with Geico is easy. Just Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already, especially because we're so locked down. We have to stay at home. So just go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.